Welcome to the Education Matters podcast. I am your host, Yulisa Mdiye. On this episode, we will be talking about psychosocial support for learners, both in basic and higher education. This is a book-inspired conversation by Malaika Waazania, Corridors of Death. Corridors of Death is a collection of essays that explore the lived experiences of Black students in historically white universities and high schools. It sheds light on how structural violence, racism, and a culture of alienation are pushing students to the edge of depression and increasingly suicide. But first, meet our guests.
So my name is Rahima Esop, and I'm the head of communications and advocacy for the Zero Dropout campaign.
Torugum Sangana is a psychologist by profession, a counseling psychologist. I've had opportunity to work in higher education.
Next is a snippet from the Zero Dropout campaign.
Imagine a group of 100 children on their first day of school. If given the opportunity and support, each child has the potential to achieve their goals and be successful. The reality is that at least 40 will drop out. It happens so frequently that it's become commonplace in our communities. Let's look at why. Poverty and inequality are underlying causes. Different push and pull factors at home, at school, and in the community can, over time, lead a learner to withdraw from school and eventually leave. A challenging home life can have a negative impact on a child's emotional, physical, and mental well-being. While school is supposed to be a safe space, its environment and culture can influence whether a learner thrives or not. As a country, we are so used to dropout that it doesn't sound alarm bells. We are not thinking about how to fix it. We need to change this by taking collective ownership of the problem. Here's how you can be a part of the solution. Parents and caregivers are a supportive presence in their child's life. Show love and take interest in their education. School is a place of safety, stimulation, and curiosity, free from bullying and corporal punishment. The more we know and track about a learner, the better we can respond to their needs. This information will alert schools when someone is at risk of dropping out. By tracking absenteeism, grade repetition, and academic performance, schools are able to identify learners who need extra support, mentoring, counseling, or tutoring. These referrals are crucial to a successful dropout prevention plan. Every child has the potential to inspire, create, and change the world around them. All they need is a chance. To learn more, visit zerodropout.co.za.
So my name is Rahima Esop, and I'm the head of communications and advocacy for the Zero Dropout campaign.
What does social support mean? And secondly, who would need that services?
Psychosocial speaks about the interconnection between psychological and social processes and how they interact and influence the other. So if we take this definition and apply it to the lived realities of South African children, one is better able to understand and appreciate that exposure to trauma, violence, challenges at home, disruptive and deteriorating living conditions can all have immediate and long-term consequences for learners and their ability to remain engaged and connected to their schooling. This is a good starting point for understanding the drivers of school dropout. No child wakes up one morning and on a whim decides to drop out of school. Instead, dropout comes at the end of a long process of disengagement in which a young person is pushed or pulled away from school because of factors at home, at school, and in their communities. If we understand dropout as a process rather than a singular event, we are better able to design programs aimed at preventing dropout by firstly identifying learners who are becoming disengaged, and then secondly diverting or funneling them into support programs that are either academic or psychosocial support. Let's take Anele's story, and I'm using a pseudonym here to protect Anele's identity.
Okay.
She moved between different households, and in some of the homes in which she stayed, she didn't get the support and the care that she needed. At other times, her family struggled to afford school-related costs, struggled to even put food on the table. Anele got pregnant by her boyfriend, and she eventually dropped out of school. The fact that she was able to finish primary school, struggling for 3 years to pass grade 7 alone, is a testament to her perseverance and her commitment to school. So it shows that she was interested in school, but there were these factors that were pulling her away from the school space. Mm-hmm. With all of her determination, she couldn't do it alone. So learners like Anele should not be falling through the cracks of our education system. Her story is a prime example of why wraparound support is important. Now, I'll use Anele's story and show you another story in which this particular learner did receive the right kind of support. Nolatanda's story is similar to Anele's, but she did receive the support that she needed. After Nalutando gave birth to her daughter, a mentor helped her to get back to school. She would call her almost every day and encourage her to return to school. And as you probably well know, it's not easy for young mothers to reintegrate into school after giving birth, yeah, because they are contending with so much already, not to mention the stigma that is associated. But Nolutandu was able to get back to school because she had the support of a positive anchor, a mentor who was helping her through her schooling journey.
I don't know necessarily how the Department of Basic Education works in terms of psychosocial support. I do know that there are not enough resources in the Department of Basic Education. And by that, mm-hmm, I mean, there are not many psychologists who are placed in the Department of Basic Education. And I am more curious about, in terms of policy, what is currently happening?
So the department that is responsible or that takes the lead here is the Portfolio on Care and Support within the National Department of Basic Education. There is a policy framework that's in place, but it doesn't always operate well in practice. Just to give you an example of what the situation is like in many rural areas and far-flung parts of our country, accessing key support services outside of the school environment is not easy for residents in these communities. Maybe they don't have access to information about where to find these services, or they're living in areas where it's not easy to access them. So many young people rely on the school space, not just to develop academically, but also to get a school meal and to access certain key services. At the school level, these services are meant to be provided, but in practice, social workers don't have the capacity to visit all the schools in their districts on a regular basis. So what the Department of Basic Education put into place is a system in which district-based supports teams were designed to include a wide range of support personnel at the district level to assist schools with the issues that they struggle with. But these teams are not functional in all of the provinces. This is why we need to strengthen psychosocial support at school level for at-risk learners, so that those learners who are becoming disengaged, like Anele's and like Nolotando's, that they are able to get the right type of support, whether it be academic or psychosocial support. And over the long term, and this is absolutely important, schools themselves must learn to be self-sufficient so that they can provide the required level of psychosocial support and be able to tap into or access other state-sponsored support services. Because you can't have a situation in all schools and all districts in the country where schools are reliant on the support of NPOs that are operating in the school space. And there are many NPOs or NGOs operating in the school space that are providing psychosocial support, that are trying to plug this gap. But schools can't be reliant on them. They should be able to learn how to be self-sufficient so that they can provide that required level of support themselves.
Speaking about the NGOs and other community service providers that actually try and do this job, you guys, as the Zero Dropout campaign, do have some sort of initiatives that are implemented by your partners, that they are currently in pilot. How do those programs look like? The current pilot programs, they make use of existing resources in the system and they try to sort of reach out to students, but it looks different for each and every program that is currently in pilot. And also I want to find out, what is the end goal? Would these be put forward to the Department of Basic Education to implement across the country? What is the plan regarding those pilot programs?
We work with 4 NPO implementing partners in various provinces across the country. And they are running dropout prevention models in these various schools. Different models for each NGO. I can mention 2 of them as an example of how psychosocial support has been brought in to re-engage disengaged learners. So the first example I want to start off with is in the Eastern Cape, where the Masibombani Development Organization uses a model called Check and Connect. They employ mentors who are social workers trained in the Check and Connect methodology to work with learners. These mentors get to know the exact reasons why a learner is struggling or disengaging from school, which then helps teachers to understand the child's situation better. So the mentors are also a bridge between the educator and the learner. These mentors conduct one-on-one sessions with learners in their mentoring programs on a weekly basis. And in these sessions, the mentors discuss progress with schoolwork, but also issues that a learner is facing at school or at home. And they do skill building exercises and such as goal setting and time management to help the learner to develop a plan for the year ahead and to be able to stick to agreed milestones. That's the one model. Another model implemented in KwaZulu-Natal is utilized by the National Association of Child and Youth Care Workers, also known as the NACCW. They operate in several schools in rural KZN, where the organization trains and supports learner support agents to become providers of psychosocial support. One of the roles of the learner support agents, and in conjunction with NACCW staff, is to connect schools to a range of services. And learners are also linked to clinics, social workers, and other organizations. Remember, I spoke about the fact that there is also a problem with regards to access to information in some of these communities where residents don't actually know what services are available to them and how to access them. Yes. So the learner support agents, in conjunction with the NACCW, acts as that bridge to connect learners and their families to the right type of support services. What we're doing is we are figuring out what works in what setting and what is the best way forward in terms of a model that can be taken to scale. As I mentioned earlier, we want schools to be self-sufficient, so to be able to give them the resources and the tools and for them to then run with it and implement. We are in the process of developing a toolkit for schools. We also know that simply giving schools and educators resources is not enough, and there has to be a process of enabling and capacitating. And that will happen in the subsequent weeks following the Action Summit, so that we can get buy-in from schools and from teachers in particular, so that they are empowered to use these resources and to implement them in their various settings in order to prevent dropout. Now, what these tools entail is a early warning system toolkit, which essentially allows educators to monitor learners who are at risk of dropping out. The second resource that we will be providing is a summary of the strategies that have worked based on the pilot that we've done with our implementing partners. So all of that will be available from September, and schools can access it on our website. And when participants log in to the Action Summit, they can access the resources as well and participate in the conversation.
What are your hopes and dreams regarding psychosocial support in the education system?
We want the National Department of Basic Education to ensure that it strengthens psychosocial support systems within schools so that learners are able to access them. But more importantly, these psychosocial support systems must be linked to early warning systems so that the learners who are at risk are able to benefit from the psychosocial support. So these mechanisms need to be interlinked. It needs to be linked to an early warning system. It shouldn't be operating in a...
Education matters. Book-inspired conversations.
Toyogam Sangana is a psychologist by profession, a counseling psychologist. I've had opportunity to work in higher education, so my experience is from a higher education sector, and that is a university settings, the counseling side of things. Also worked with schooling environment, done group work there developmental kind of work. I'm also in private practice, so I run my private practice on the where I see a wide range of clients from, your teenagers to, couples, adults, young children who are sometimes referred for scholastic difficulties, so assessing psychological assessments, right? Mm-hmm. And
what does a psychologist have to do with it?
Often the identification of e-learning difficulties, yenzeka esikolweni, right, the teachers, mm-hmm. Often the ones that will pick up about that there's a problem. Sometimes it's because of a performance poor, right? So the psychologist is trained to be able to assess which area exactly is the child struggling with. If it's an emotional difficulties, the assessment that the psychologist used to assess that, and pick that up. If there's a scholastic issue, learning difficulties, a lot of kids go to school, struggle with scholobangapasi, kanti there's a learning disorder or a learning, if they were sent to a psychologist that could be picked up. For example, a dyslexia. Let's say akakwazi to progress because mhlambe une problem with numbers, not that akana intelligence, right? Because sometimes I think esikolweni kuye kube khona difficulty bengayazi ukuthi, is a child intellectually able to actually perform and, proceed what is going on. So the psychologist can come in and assess ezo zindwezo. And sometimes umntana needs special attention, there are special schools for that, umntana just needs special attention because only special needs, that's what we call it these days, where, kids are not the same. Others need more attention than others. School environment obviously doesn't always cater for special needs school. That's why if you go into assessment, then go into recommendations and apply so that will happen via the psychologist. It cannot happen without the report from the psychologist. If then, for example, also sometimes what happens is that umntana might struggle at school and there's a sexual violation that's happening where most in the black community, abandona some bio visitor from extended family, we are kwa auntie, you can kwa makazini and whatnot. And the child started to have a negative attitude of not wanting to go to the dad's family. And, this became a very difficult issue for the family to understand. They the problematic and, you know, all that sort of thing. And the performance akala ya beda eskolweni, when the child was brought to me to assess, it came up, there was actually molestation that was happening in the home that I was not wanting to go into, but the parents were not aware, you know, and that came up in therapy, the interaction that the psychologist had with the child. Yeah, but so that's where gay psychologist comes in. So in my work with the schools that I've consulted with, I've done a lot of self-development work with, you know, young children in terms of dealing with bullying, you know, in schools, you know, it's becoming an issue. So psychologists also can work in schools as scholars, yeah, employees, psychologists, many psychologists, yeah, that is part of the team, you know. But unfortunately, government, I don't think we are a prioritizer the mental health side of things, you know, actually make sure every school should have a psychologist or should have at least a registered counselor, you know, dedicated to deal with mental health challenges that students are facing, because Otishala cannot, you know, be expected to teach and then
many people understand what a social worker does, and usually they transfer the responsibility of a psychologist to a social worker. So what is the difference between the two?
So psychologists are trained specifically to deal with mental health challenges, the mental health disorders, the clinical side of things, whereas social workers not necessarily, you know, they can deal with, you know, social issues, you know, like relational issues, family issues, as it was, but when it comes to mental health challenges, for example, let's say a depression, psychologists are trained to be able to pick up when a client is depressed. They're trained to also know what is the intervention that is necessary to help this person that is depressed, you know, in terms of helping them manage that. Whereas the social workers are not necessarily trained in that aspect. So in psychologists, they have a specialized training to deal with specific mental health challenges and disorders. And social work cannot diagnose you, you know, whereas a psychologist will be able to give you a diagnosis, will be able to also refer you to a psychiatrist, for example, if there's a need for medication here. They are also trained, the psychologists, to deal with crisis situations or traumatic situations. So, for example, in cases where rape, you know, where the student maybe or anyone is raped, you know, that's a crisis situation. So psychologists have intensive training in terms of dealing with crises and knowing exactly what they need to do in a time of crisis and helping clients to manage a crisis as well. As a social worker, training is quite limited in terms of just focusing on the social side of things. So the social work and the psychologist, they complement each other in that the psychologist, you know, cannot necessarily say go to the family. So for example, lomdana in a case of sexual molestation that's happening, the social worker would assist you to go and make an assessment in your home environment. The social worker would then give report, and then I have an understanding about, oh, okay, you know, right, then this is how we move in terms of assisting lomdana. So that's how the professions complement each other.
So a social worker would see that this home is a child-headed home, but then a psychologist would deal with the fact that maybe this loss is a traumatic loss to the children. How do they deal with the grief? How do they navigate their lives now that they've experienced this loss? So what does psychology give in terms of skills to a learner?
There's a lot of coping, you know, from just teaching, you know, a learner to understand themselves, the emotional side, you know, understanding their emotions and how they should respond to their, you know, emotional challenges or difficulties. Also, you know, teaching learners to understand the distinction between, you know, positive emotions and negative emotions and being able to manage those emotions is very helpful. Giving resources, it's kubalulekile to give abantwana resources, you know, they need to know where to go, when, you know, who to go to, you know. So for example, if you know, umdana comes and they are dealing with, you know, self-esteem issues, you know, there are skills that a psychologist will help this child, you know, to have, that they can use themselves, you know, to build that self-esteem up. But also with cases that are critical, you know, psychologists will also have intervention that will go up beyond just the individual, you know. So it can be at home, you know, how can the home environment support Lomdan, you know. So psychologists are also able to have interventions where they will sit with the parent, for example, you know, have cases where Lomdan Mthambi has an ADD, right? Or ADHD, okay? And there needs to be changes in the home environment to assist Lomdana to perform better, okay, to do better. So that is, the parents also need to be roped in, the family needs to be educated in terms of siyakwazi advisor on specific interventions, you know, that can be put in place in the home environment or Lomdana that they can part. For example, in terms of bullying, one of the things that we will tackle is, for example, the major thing is cyberbullying, right? So teaching Lomdana in terms of how to manage, you know, and just, you know, cell phone, you know, having Lomdana understand, which, you know, your parent needs to know what are things that you need to be looking out for, who can you then speak to if there's an issue along the way, you know, how do you go about dealing with that? What do you say? How do you respond to that? What do you do? You know, so it's very important to have specific.
This makes perfect sense in terms of, and then you have worked with tertiary students.
Yes.
Yeah? And I'm interested, Ngogo, at a tertiary level, what sort of gaps do you see that maybe we missed at basic education level that cut out tertiary level? If not that, what is more prevalent at a tertiary, for a tertiary student?
Yeah. Yo, that's it's a loaded question. There's a lot of challenges that students are experiencing in the university setting. You touch on, you know, one of the things, I mean, GOPS is, we've moved to online, you know, learning challenge JAP, or, you know, is that is coming from a rural settings who have never used a laptop before, and now they have to get to university and, you know, have to attend online. You know, it's going to be a challenge for them, and that obviously is going to have a negative impact in terms of performance. Yeah, okay. It's very, very important that abantwana from the, you know, from the lower grades, they are, you know, equipped with the necessary skills now so that they can manage and adjust to the university setting. Not just the social skills, very, very important, but also the soft skills, you know. They still don't have a computer lab, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that is very... unfortunate that the government is not prioritizing. In 2021, you know, Isikolo Zonke should have a computer lab where a student can go and at least akwazi ukusebenzisa Word, just typing a document, you know, akwazi ukuba email address as a sender, because those are the basic things that are necessary for a university student. You need to be able to operate, you know, email. That's the communication channels at university. That will set an email. No one is going to call you. Your computer is like phone, you know. When a student comes in and they don't have, you know, a Gmail account, for example, or they don't have just the literacy, computer literacy of opening and operating a computer, that can put, you know, that can set them back, kakhulu, because that means they are now having not just to adjust to the new environment, but also they have to adjust to, you know, the use of the resources that they need to, you know, to be using for their studies. What happens is that even a negative impact on self-esteem, you know, I've been doubting, you know, the university environment, but I'm not going to be able to cope up. So I'm starting to doubt their abilities, self-esteem, but it gets knocked. And with that comes the issue of performance, you know, they now start to left behind, you know, Omnia end up giving up from first year level, you know, in a low first semester, you know, because of these challenges that they're experiencing. Another issue that we are finding now, especially with the issue of gender-based violence, you know, in our country and in university settings, is the issue that there is a lot of work that needs to be done back in our communities. I liked what Minister talked about when he talked about what are we teaching boys and what are we not teaching them, you know. And this goes back to a kaya, you know. I think that you know, abantwana bangabafana mainly, you know, are not taught to have the independence, you know, in terms of relying on themselves emotionally and taking care of themselves, you know, but also living with others in harmony and not expecting ukuthi, you know, other people should do what they want, and if they don't get what they want, that's the end of the world. I think that emakhaya, it's also very important in the yobanga ukuthi challenges are gender roles. Umntana ongumfana, you know, akaclean yena njengoba phendlini bangamantombi beclean, you know, yena eyakhe iroom cleanwa zii-siblings zakhe zingamantombi, uyaphekelwa. Because that sets up this male to have an expectation of ukuthi my girlfriend is therefore expected to do this thing. And then when I get a girlfriend in varsity who doesn't do lendo, now I start to be violent because you know that I expected, you know, because I grew up isenzelwa. And now, you know, take offense when it doesn't happen. And when you're setting, you know, the struggle now, you know, is that also the male is not empowered now, you know, to manage the changing culture, you know. So I think not just in the university, because the university is so late in the home environment, in the community, you know, how are males empowered? You know, how are males not trapped into a lie of and a power country, they are not powerful, you know, yeah. So that males can be able to you know, on an emotional level, because we're seeing that the male is not, you know, strong emotionally to then deal with the challenges that come with life. And so this is the issue that we're finding, you know, in higher education, which perhaps it's time that the men, you know, are also empowered, because we have now very powerful young girls that have been, you know, empowered, and perhaps the male is not able, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the students that go into university, right? And sometimes they are the first student to go to university. And most of these students, they are on earnest first, you know? And yes. So these students, as means when they don't get imalia, so that when as I say, but you know, it becomes very, very challenging for these students to survive, you know, in the university environment, because, you know, who's quasi to, you know, go to 1, 2, 3, and 4 at university, you need financial resource, you know.
Yes.
So sometimes the students, they are dealing with depression, they're dealing with, you know, stress, because it's the finances that is the major problem, you know. One student, you know, wrote to me a while ago and said to me, but, you know, Sisi, I can't go to my practicals because and you know, when I go to practicals, I have to be there the whole day. And I can't be there the whole day doing practicals when I'm hungry, you know. I've been waiting for, you know, for money to be paid, but I haven't gotten my money. So you see, Uti, basic needs are also very, very important, you know,
yeah.
For students. Show up for their academics. We cannot expect a student that is hungry to, you know, to perform well, you know, to do well academically. Certainly, they cannot do well emotionally. So that we are able to make sound decisions, so that we are able to, you know, strong physically as well, you know, survive. So in trying to cope, you know, in students, they will try to compensate. So but I have to send money at home because, you know, my family now is also relying on me, which is something that we find in common as well in the Black communities, that as a student, you know, they end up having the same money that is supposed to support them while they're at varsity, send it home, you know, to support the family members that are back at home, again, leaving them, you know, in a deficient position, right? And that's where, again, what we find so good to you. A lot of students will start to use alcohol as a coping mechanism, start to have female students who go to drastic measures of trying to compensate. That's where, again, what the blessee situation comes into play,
yes.
You know, a phenomena comes into play. So I now have to find ways. So who call these students that will end up sleeping with older men for money, not because that's what they plan to do, but because the circumstance, you know, that they're finding in themselves in has pushed them into that. We're seeing a lot of students now also getting into prostitution, you know, what we call the underground world, you know, again, because of the desperation of just trying to have, you know, some financial support somewhere. So challenges that students are faced with at university level.
And also, like, as you're talking, I'm thinking, Dubana, that child that comes to university, Afman Nafsas, is the same child who will experience black tax and eat. And then also, this is the same child who will struggle to manage the financial burden of taking care of the family. Because we're not saying black tax is a bad thing, but it's like, how do you make it a manageable experience for yourself? And then you'll also find that it's the same child who will struggle to draw boundaries between parents and myself and family. Basically, how do I manage my finances in such a way that it does not hurt you? And that is not a skill that you learn at school necessarily. It's a life lesson that comes with that as well. Also, even a young girl who ends up doing transactional sex, it's because of those circumstances. And how does that young person learn to forgive themselves for decisions that they made because they were desperate, right? So again, I like that we got to the adult. And I'm thinking, okay, fine, here I am, I'm an adult. It's like psychology is not affordable. And it's so difficult to find someone like me, someone who's going to understand that I am paying black tax, someone who's going to understand my experience when I, you know what, on top of the black tax, I still need to pay back just to get this qualification. It's psychology is just something that's far from the excess. I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Definitely agree on that. It is still, like I said, you know, earlier on, Uguchi, unfortunately, mental health in general is still not taken very seriously. What that means then is that access, to psychologists is very, very limited. You know, especially in our country, our government, again, you know, is not prioritizing, because it's a human right to have access to, you know, mental health support services, definitely access to psychological services, to mental health services from a primary level to, you know, obviously a tertiary level. And for all problem upper end, South Africa, because even as the hospitals that offer psychological services or mental health services, they are very zimbalwa, you know, have just a few. People travel very long to go to, you know, to a psychiatric hospital to access, you know, psychiatric support. You know, that tells you, Uguti, it is still something that is not taken seriously, and it's not being prioritized. So yenza ukuthi ke ngoku abantu also they receive help very late, you know, because baka save up before, you know, akwazi ufumana ukubona psychologist. If you are not on medical aid, for example, you know, you are not going to be able to see a psychologist privately because you cannot afford, you know, the rates of the psychologist. I understand. So I think it's a really problematic. You know, we have a lot of psychologists that, you know, doing talks, you know, psychoeducating people around mental health issues. There's a lot of NGOs, there's a lot of, you know, just on social media as well, there's a lot of professionals that are coming up and going to people, you know, that this is their attempt as well to just try to bridge the gap, because they're aware, Gucci, you know, the people are not able to access the services and they cannot afford the services, you know, so psychologists, the people in the profession are very much aware of that. So I think it's just trying to strike a balance, but I definitely do wish that at some point, you know, psychological services could be accessible to everyone, especially in remote areas, you know, a lot of people struggle, you know, accessing services too. Because of just the lack of resources and availability.
If you were heading the psychosocial support unit or department at the Department of Basic Education, what would you hope for? What sort of strategy would you implement? Not in greater detail, but What are your hopes and dreams when it comes to psychosocial support for learners?
All schools, you know, or majority of schools should definitely have, a psychologist, their own in-house psychologist, or at least their own Sinazwi registered counselors, you know, that are also trained and are part of, are registered with the HPCSA, also providing, you know, counseling. I think that it's very necessary, especially basic education, you know. There's a lot of young kids that need support, you know, and teachers are also, I think that teachers are stretched, you know, also needing support themselves, because teachers are dealing with a lot of psychosocial issues in the school environment. One of the things that I would implement or introduce is, you know, psychosocial support provided for teachers in the school environment. How do they manage these cases and these incidents, you know, equipping teachers in terms of just dealing with, you know, these traumatic incidents that happen. I mean, these incidents, you know, that are happening in the school environment, in school premises, that teachers are not trained to handle or even cope with. So capacitating teachers is also very, very, I think, important with the psychological support and psychosocial support. In mental health awareness campaigns also, you know, also, you know, roping in, you know, students, and just in terms of making mental health a common, you know, topic, you know, not this taboo and this stigmatized, you know, topic. So the school environments to not only talk about mental health when there's an incident. So for example, when there's an incident of bullying that happened, that ended up with someone dying, you know. So for school environments to start to, get into that habit of promoting mental health awareness throughout the year, you know, in the school environments, and getting students involved in that activity. So schools, having, their talks, and that way you will also be breaking the stigma, you know, because a lot of people still struggle to just even say that they are struggling with a mental health issue, let alone go and seek support. Creating a culture in the schools where students, you know, see it's okay for me to seek help. It's okay for me to go disclose if I'm not okay, if I'm not coping, you know, and Siba encourage to actually come forward instead of and end up, you know, suicidal, and, you know, end up also be sensor drugs, you know. Because they're not coping.